This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
We're rolling. No, Danny, how do we intro this thing?
Well, maybe you could pretend to be Danny. I can't because I'll be called a prepubescent show host.
You already called that. What's the difference? So, hey, we are excited to be here because Danny is not I will fail miserably. But someone else is here that we are so excited to have in the potty cabin, and that is Dr. Kay Chandler.
Hello.
Yes. Hey, Dr. Kay. She's sitting in Danny's spot, and boy, she looks so much more suited.
When I'm hearing already.
So, Dr. Kay, actually, she's such a great friend of ours now, Serene, like our sister. I mean, we have kind of gone deep together in these last, has it been a year, Dr.
It's been about a year. Yeah, right about a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have
close to.
Just had so many long days. Long days with Dr. Kay. And really, Dr. Kay is a hormone expert. You are an OBGYN.
Decorated OBGYN.
Yes, and a hormone specialist. But more than that, you're a beautiful mother and grandmother and amazing person.
Yeah.
And friend to Serene and I.
To put up with us. I mean,
it's so much fun.
If people listening to the party think I'm a prepubescent show host, can you imagine her having to spend weekends with me?
It's energizing, believe me.
Yeah, so Dr. Kay, you know, Serene and I have just been, we are hormone freaks, you know, from our very first book 11 years ago now.
Well, you were the original hormone freak out of the two of us, and I used to call her Dr. Horms. I mean, of course she wasn't a doctor, but that was my nickname for her because, you know, she on, you know, for a hobby, you know, not for work at all, she'd just be scouring hormone books and researching, and she would get these liaison names, and she would go to hormone like groups, people that were on different treatments, and she would kind of like spy and see what kind of you know, results they were getting from different kinds of treatments.
I still do that, Serene.
Yeah.
But nothing's changed. But so it's definitely been my passion. But then so we have actually I don't know if you found us or we found you, Dr. Kay.
Well, I was familiar with you all. I've heard of you all. And then I think, though, when you started wanting to be interested in hormones, you did find me.
Right.
And, you know.
We found her.
Amen.
Yes. For sure. And so,
Can we tell that story?
Yeah, didn't you say that you first heard about THM when you had a patient come to you, how many years ago, and tell you all about it?
Oh, well, it was probably about 2012. I mean, it was not long. After, when did you all start?
2012.
Okay, so it could have been 2012, 2014.
Yes.
And she had struggled, you know, with just diet and just, you know, her health. And she had found Trim Healthy Mama and was telling me all about it. And she did so well. And then I had several patients. In fact, I talked to one last week who had told me about it 10 years ago and let her know that I had, you know, been working with you all. And she was so
excited. I guess it was kind of sort of in your head. And then when someone reached out to you, we have been.
Can I just say that story? We had been looking for a doctor for how long? Was it just a good year?
A couple of years. And and interviewing doctors, because Serene and I have always, we've had this passion, and we've got to get onto what we're here to about, but this is the intro of why
Dr.
Kay is
here. Important.
Yeah. We had, we wanted to bring trustworthy hormone help.
Well, Pearl was very opinionated because she had kind of like, with all of her research and time, she's like, I know what works. And so she was looking for a doctor who was open
And skilled.
Skilled, but also open to more of the latest research and not just, you know, what was always being done with hormone treatment. Yeah. And so it was.
Because Serene, wouldn't you say the biggest question we have been asked on a daily basis was, help me with my hormones. Where do I go? Where can I find trustworthy help?
Can I just say that's when you might say, well, why did I become interested in hormones?
Yeah.
And because patients coming asking.
Yes.
And they would ask me and say, well, this is what I read and this is what I've heard. And things that maybe I haven't heard about, you know, like, you know, saliva testing, bioidentical hormones, but I was willing to read about it and learn about it too, instead of saying, well, this is not what I've studied in residency, so I'm not going to, no, we don't do that. We do it this way.
Right.
And so I was just kind of open-minded too. And when I saw the difference in these women, when I started treating them, you know, and really trying to restore their balance and their, you know, really looking at that and not just, oh, you're in reference range, you're fine. They got better. And I thought, this is going to be, everybody's going to do this.
So you never intended to be a hormone specialist.
No, I wasn't looking into it.
You were just an OBGYN.
Just an OBGYN and trying to listen to help my patients who weren't getting better with the normal ways.
Yes.
So just when we had given up and thought, okay, well, I don't know if this person is out there. We had apparently somebody in our business had reached out to you, and we had thought it was just a no-go, that was just a stopgap and you weren't going to call back. But you actually hadn't got that message.
I think it was 6 weeks after the after he called that I finally heard the message. And when I heard it, I was like, this is interesting. Yeah. And I had a very positive just feel, because, I mean, what I had already knew about you all, that it was like, yeah, I want to call them back and see what this is about.
And so, you know, that was a prayer of ours. God, send us the right person. Send us someone who, first of all, isn't this terrible, but we wanted a woman. I mean, of course, there are great hormone specialists who are men, but something inside of us is like, just please bring us a woman, because, you know, we are dealing with women's hormones here. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's that special connection.
Mm-hmm. And also a beautiful believer.
Yes.
Oh,
and
thank
that,
you.
Everything is something important to us, because, you know, as believers ourselves, we want somebody very anchored, you know, anchored in truth, especially in today's world where, you know, there's just a lot of tangents.
And well, that's very important to me, too. So that was another one of those things like, wow, I know that about them. So
it was just incredible. Like, everything that we asked for, we got in Dr. K, but more. Like, Serena and I pinched ourselves, like, how could we be partnered with this amazing woman? So you guys listening, Dr. K is, you know, I've talked to her patients. They have said she listens, she cares. But you will be heading up for us a team of doctors, hundreds of doctors. So, you know, we are bringing trustworthy, not yet, we're not ready to launch this, but we are bringing trustworthy hormone help to women in this country. And I couldn't be more excited to do this with you, Dr. K. But today we're here for something else, a little bit. It kind of is along the same vein. But it's kind of something interesting that wasn't supposed to happen right now.
Right.
It was supposed to happen later.
It's been in the works for us all along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is ready before all the hormone is just, the hormone thing has been just so, it layers deep, right? To bring this to woman and to do it properly, it's just taken so much. But this other part of it is kind of more ready to go now. And so we thought, why are we just going to sit on this when we could be bringing this help to people? So we wanted to kind of get today through all the confusion, through all the myths, through all of just, there's so much information whirling around right now about these weight loss medications, and why the heck would Serena and I be jumping on board this train? Why would someone like Dr. K be saying, hey, these can be a help to people, when I think that there's a lot of things said about them?
Well, it's controversial right now.
A lot of controversy. So we just wanted to talk about why we believe these weight loss medications and their semaglutide and tirzepatide can be of a help to some women. And we kind of wanted to sit with you, Dr. K, and talk about, you know, the pros, the cons, the who they're for, because they're not for everybody, and why we think we would love them to be a part of our THM plan for those who actually can be helped, because there are some people.
Yeah, those who have tried everything. I mean, they've been on plan, and they've kind of got all of their duckies in a row. They've got the exercise down. Yeah. They've got all of the aspects of health, and they're trying harder than most people, and nothing is shifting, and it's almost unfair. And so, and I've seen that personally with my own husband. I mean, one of the authors of Trim Healthy Mama, and I can help all these thousands of women, but I couldn't even help my own husband. And he had all his duckies in a row. I mean, I fed him. I was the one that prepared his meals. He had exercise, nipped, you know, he had everything there, but he could not budge his weight. And then it was 2020, actually years ago, when I first heard about semaglutide, GLP-1, and it was a game changer for him. And that's when, you know, Pearl and I were like, wow, this, we could bring this help to some of our women who are just exhausted and given up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, and we wanted to like ask you from a doctor's perspective, Dr. K, can you explain what these medications are? Because I think any woman listening right now has probably heard of, if they're not thinking about it for themselves, they've heard of someone who's using it, and they might have heard of good experiences or bad experience, but they've heard of it.
Yeah. A lot of people have heard of it. I get a lot of questions about that. And you know, GLP-1s, they have been out for a while. It's not, this is not brand new. And when it first came out, marketed under a different name. And, you know, yeah, I was leery at first because, you know, you see, oh, may cause thyroid cancer in laboratory animals. And I remember first, you know, when they first heard about this, I'm like, I don't know. I think I was very leery. But the more that it's been available, the more it's been used, it's just, you know, you see, well, for one thing, the thyroid of a rat is very different than the thyroid of a human. And yes, I mean, there are some restrictions. It's
and
not supposed to.
And wasn't it a very rare cancer that is a genetic cancer? It's not the typical thyroid
cancer. Well, yeah, and it's more likely to be associated. That's why they say if you have a history of multiple endocrine neoplasia in your family, if you have thyroid medullary cancer, you're not supposed to use this.
Right.
And was probably it a very, very overdosed, strong
In a rat.
Yeah.
Yes. And it, you know, if you've had pancreatitis, it may not be the best idea. But really... I actually just saw it being used before. I'm not usually, I'm pretty early adapter a lot of times when I see it safe, and I'm not the first one a lot of times to jump on the bandwagon. And so when I saw some of the benefits, actually it was one of our a coworker of mine who had seen her endocrinologist, and it was just amazing transformation, and just started doing some more research about it and more looking into it. And I was like, yeah, I think there's something to this. Cause this lady had done a lot of the same things, like eating healthy, exercising, you know, yoga instructor. I mean, you know,
she
all
was
those
an
things.
Instructor.
I mean, you know, and knows what to do and doing everything. And this really made a huge difference. So, so as I started looking into it, I thought, well, this makes sense. But GLP-1, we all have GLP-1 in our bodies.
It's a peptide, right?
Yes. And I do believe that it's just, I don't know that there's been a lot of studies on this, but some people have less than others.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going to struggle more.
And it's a very short-lived peptide, isn't it? Right. So some certain foods and meals, when we eat, it triggers GLP-1, but it's just a short instance in our bodies. It's very, very important for our metabolic health, but it's very short. And I have to wonder, because like you say, some people have less of it than others.
And doesn't it also go down as you age?
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. But they've tested people, older people have less of it. But I have to wonder, are some people just less sensitive to it?
And that's possible too.
Oh, that's interesting.
I mean, our receptors can be, and really receptors in general have issues, hormone receptors. And that's why a lot of times thyroid receptors that we have to do differently than we used to. Part of it because of our environment.
Right.
A lot of it's because of our environment too.
So when was the first time that you actually prescribed this for someone, and what was the outcome?
Oh, I'm trying to think of when the first time. I have some memorable ones, but I'm not sure the very first time. But, I guess the most memorable, and I've kind of mentioned that to y'all, was because somebody who's closer to me, too, is just a friend and had really struggled with polycystic ovarian syndrome. Mm. And these are the patients that I really see the biggest difference in. Because I don't know, like I said, I don't think anybody's done a study on PCOS and whether those women have lower GLP-1s levels, but they struggle with insulin resistance.
They have higher insulin.
And that's what my husband had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really? Insulin resistance. Yeah. And it's very interesting how people can eat very similarly and one person has insulin resistance and another person doesn't. Mm-hmm. So there's something about our makeup, you know, that makes us more susceptible. And I mean, yes, we can't ignore diet and exercise and all those things,
course.
But you can be doing all those things and still have issues.
I think that's where, you know, we don't want to slap this medication on people who are just, you know, eating McDonald's and just not even caring because it's not about a quick fix. It's it's about giving hope to somebody who doesn't have any hope anymore.
Well, I think that's why these medications are being abused. And I think that's why they have a bad name. And because if someone is not educated on how they can be part of a healthy lifestyle, just to take them and then, you know, appetite gets suppressed a little bit and then just eat less of junk food, that's harmful.
Right. And some people also are already in a healthy body weight, but they have a dysmorphic issue and they want to be thinner.
Yeah.
And so they take it and just to like look like a Barbie doll, but that's so dangerous for their body. And so there's so many ways people can abuse this. I mean, Pearl and I, we would never take it. So we're not trying to say everybody should go out and take this cool new weight loss drug. No, it's for specific people who are desperate for help.
Well, yeah. And I mean, I'll just have to say here, just as a physician, I can't help but not say, I mean, these medications, a lot of people are using them off-label. I mean, it's really only FDA approved for certain BMI, certain medical conditions, and even the tirzepatide, I don't think has yet gained approval.
I don't think, only for type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, yes. And so it's off-label use.
Yeah.
And like you said, but people are really getting you know, it's being misused. And yeah. and I have seen people, oh, well, I'm doing good, so let's go up, let's go up, yes. let's go up. Mm-hmm. And then they get sicker and not do mm-hmm. well. And like you said, I really have seen most of my patients that are on it, I really like, okay, you've got to have your protein. I truly, yes. really counsel. Yeah. You've got to eat healthy, all these things. But some people, I think they're just getting a prescription and they're not being told. And they are losing weight, but they're losing a lot of muscle.
Right.
And they're just not going to be healthy.
Smashing their metabolism.
Right.
Yeah. So what happened, but I'm kind of interested, what happened in this woman?
Oh,
that
yes.
you said she had PCOS, right?
Yes. Oh,
was
yes.
Was it a good outcome?
Oh, a wonderful outcome.
Yeah.
And really, one of the things like that I'm thinking about, this one lady, one patient, she never felt good. And she would have highs and lows in her blood sugar and have to wake up in the middle of the night because she'd crash on her blood sugar.
Wow.
And just not sleeping, mm-hmm. stressed, all of these things. And then just to be on the GLP-1 agonist and feel good for the first time in like 10 years mm-hmm. since I've seen this lady, because really with her, it just kept going up mm-hmm. the weight and the health and her well-being just kept going down and just trying so many different things. And she did everything I asked, you know, yeah. mm-hmm. But it wasn't working. And so mm-hmm. this has been a game to get on the, I did a televisit not too long ago, but to get on the phone and just, yeah, I feel great. I'm like, I've never thought that was going to happen.
Wow.
You know, and yeah. because I just kind of was getting as discouraged as she was.
Yeah.
So yeah.
My husband had given up too. He was just like, you know, I don't want to try anything more because it doesn't work. Well, the proof is in the blood work too. I mean, he looks fantastic. He feels fantastic, but his blood work is like two different men. Mm-hmm. The original blood work before he started the GLP-1 was just high blood sugar. It was mm-hmm. borderline diabetic and he ate like me. And
not
just
quite as good as you.
Well, you know, he didn't eat ice cream.
No,
he didn't drink juice.
Soda.
He may have had organic blue corn chips. That was his vice, you know. Yeah. But in blood work, he looks like a 15-year-old, you know, younger man. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, his
inflammation
is down,
me his which
blood
is
work
what's
because,
so amazing.
Because I love blood work. I'm such a geek. I love looking at blood work.
Or it's so, like, let's look at the blood.
Yeah, so, you know, his CRP-1, you know, the C-reactive protein, which is a sign of inflammation, yeah. it was high. Let me think what it was. I think it was above 3 or something. You know, you want it to be
and
below
he felt
wild.
Yeah, oh yeah. He felt awful. Yeah.
And now it's below 1. It's
That's
not just
awesome.
His insulin that
this
comes down.
No.
It's not just his blood sugar.
Gosh,
it's
yeah.
the whole body inflammation.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've seen women go from 6.8 on. I mean, I know we've got bigger stories than this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to down to 5.2
on their A1C.
You know,
yeah.
I'm A1C. Sorry, yeah, not even yeah. saying that. But yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just and oftentimes not taking a very long time to do that.
Yes. And this is the only thing my husband changed. He just added GLP-1. I mean, that was it. That's all that he needed.
Well, he also then after that got him. What's interesting about your husband, Serene, was Sam, was he had given up. He wasn't like going out and eating burgers and sodas, but no. he'd lost hope.
Yeah.
For he wanted to be a healthier kind of athletic guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like he kind of wanted to,
yeah.
but he felt so awful. Yeah.
He didn't have energy to
since
really
then, Serene,
spend time
and it took
with
it
him.
Wasn't well, instant, but now he You didn't force him into it. You used to nag him. Hey, honey, just exercise. It will help you. But he felt so jolly awful. He wouldn't do it. Now he's in the gym.
Oh, yeah.
Now he's taking more kind of like instead of you kind
oh,
of
heralding it to other
yes.
people. He's like cheerleading other guys along.
Like he's a yeah. different guy.
Yes. Personality wise.
It wasn't
too.
Instant.
Yeah.
But I love seeing Sam's change. I love. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing, you know. Sam,
but the way he did it was
yeah.
low and slow,
mm-hmm.
and I think that was the key
yeah.
because he
well, we
kind of
learned off him.
He,
I mean,
yeah, that's
well,
true.
At first, he was like, you know, okay, so it was just these hormones were just these peptides were just sort of coming out to help with people with insulin resistance and weight problems, really stubborn weight, and so you know. We found Sam a way to get this in a practitioner. And at that time, no one really knew. Everyone was just going high. And so for the first few months he went high in Serene, he felt so bad.
Oh, he lost weight so quickly.
And it wasn't
and he lost,
good.
And he lost muscle. Mm. But we quickly worked out, okay, this is freaky. So we lowered it down and slowed it down.
Yeah.
And amazing results. He kept all his muscle, then he built some more mm-hmm. because he started getting energy, went to the gym, and he started just responding in such a healthy way without side effects.
Well, one yeah. of the things, you know, when you said he felt so bad, well, you know, I think what we don't realize is, you know, insulin is super important. We have to have the hormone. Our bodies need insulin. Mm-hmm. But when with people are insulin resistant, they're keeping a high insulin level all the time. It's staying high. And when insulin is high, it's inflammatory. It inflames the whole body. People don't feel good. Yeah. There's all kinds of biochemical things that happen that I could go into. But really, it's just we don't want the insulin level high all the time. It's supposed to go up after you eat, come back down.
Right. He even had achy joints that he'd just be like, oh, my knees are hurting.
And that's, and that's commonly seen with insulin resistance.
What's interesting about this peptide is, you know, a lot of people in the past few years, it's all about people have realized this epidemic of insulin resistance that, you know, that is prevalent in our society. And so a lot of things have been coming out like, OK, so what lowers insulin? You know, fasting. OK, it does lower it. But they found out something.
It also lowers your muscle mass.
It lowers your muscle mass. So what's interesting about GLP-1 as a peptide is, this is very interesting, it actually raises your insulin more effectively after a meal. Some people actually get higher insulin rises than they were previously. However, it clears.
Yes. And that's what that's we were designed to have, thing. Right? The it rise clears, and the clear, the rise and the
clear. And I think so many people with insulin resistance, it doesn't clear. And that's the main problem because we need that insulin to take the blood sugar from the bloodstream and put it in the muscles. So without a proper rise, we don't get it.
And that's why keto is so dangerous.
Yeah, because you don't get the proper rise. And so I think it's just, you know, Sam was kind of the first one in our, you know, circle of family and friends. And then...
And just because it worked for him doesn't mean now that I'm just like telling every single body about it. It's specific individuals. It's not for everybody. And that's what I think I want people to hear from this podcast today. We're not just wanting to slap this Band-Aid on everybody and say, you don't have to really try. Just take GLP-1. No, this is for people that have tried everything and this is their hope.
And, and you know, like even in our own community then, so, you know, and Jessica, I asked her before this party, I said, can I tell your story, Jessica? She's like, please do. She has worked with us from, I think, for 10 years now. Jessica, she's our head admin on our group. So some of you may know her or have seen her. She lost 100 pounds on Trim Healthy Mama. I mean, her story is epic. But she has struggled with many metabolic disorders, you know. And so she was a plotter. She kept to plan. She did the right things. But actually, I actually asked her this morning. I said, can you tell me what it was? But she said she felt like she had this button in her body and it was a set point. And no matter what, her body would want to go back to that. So like she lost 100 pounds.
That actually happens with...
Okay, and then eating the same way, she actually gained 20. So she was sitting around 80 pounds lost, just stuck, doing the right things, you know, eating the right way, doing all the tweaks and everything. And so, you know... We'd shared Sam's story with her and, you know, she's a good friend of mine and we'd talk about these medications and so it's been 6 months for her and so her transformation
six months since being on the GLP-1.
Yes, it's been low and slow. She has actually stayed on the lowest dose.
Wow.
She didn't ever go up. And she said to me this morning, semaglutide, she calls it Sema. We call it Sema and Terzi for Terzipatide, gave me the reset button and worked beautifully with THM to give me the extra boost or tool to get me over the stump. My body has a set point that always liked to try to get back to. It felt like my body was literally fighting against me to get back there no matter what I did. I had lost 100 pounds of THM, yet I could not get to goal weight despite all my efforts. And she said I'd even gained 20 back despite eating healthy. Sema reset the set point. I am goal weight. I am at goal weight. In fact, I'm below. You got to see this. Did you see her picture?
No, I don't think that you've shown me the latest. Okay. She's beautiful.
So she'd already lost, and I want to show you this. She'd already lost, you know, 100 pounds. Well, 80 at this point. But that was her before Sema, after... Okay.
Amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you seeing this?
And of course, there's a before that.
Yeah, there's a before of what that. But it kind of life-changing.
Yeah. Yeah. That does so much more than just the pounds, you know, for people, you know. So it gives, and I think what I see in people is when they can't do it, they lose, they lose hope and feel, like I said, feel hopeless. Yeah. And that this is always going to be this way. And you just don't feel good, you know.
Go ahead. Have you had any people, Dr. K, that you've prescribed this to that had, because I don't think Jessica was this way, but someone else in my circle of friends was this way. She had food noise in her head. Mm-hmm. Constant.
Oh, yeah.
She ate healthy. She was on our plan and had dropped weight. But constant, her mind would obsess constantly about the next meal, about what food she could eat. She said, like, I could never stop the food noise no matter what I did. I exercised, I ate healthy. The food noise would continue. And she's like, she's on seminar. She's lost 20 pounds. But she's like, it's gone.
Isn't that amazing?
Have you had that, though,
people? Oh, I've heard that a lot. In fact, I never really heard that much before until it started going away. You know, because I think people just think that's normal for them. They just always have that.
Yeah.
Until they don't have that, they're like, is this what it feels like?
And I think she did the smart thing, because she stayed on that low and slow dose because she got the food noise, the snacking monster. She kind of like slay the snacking monster, but she didn't take such a high dose that she was offended at food, whereas she would waste away and lose her muscle mass because then she would be like body composition wise actually heavier, because her muscle would be less, her weight, even though it's lighter, would actually be higher than the muscle. And so that would be metabolically, you know, worse.
Detrimental. Right. But I'm thinking about that food noise because I think to myself, I think I have food noise, but I don't know what's healthy food noise and what's unhealthy. I think a bit of food noise is probably healthy, right? I love to eat. I'm a volume eater.
Yeah.
You don't have as much food noise
as me. Oh, I have food noise all the time. But it's all about, because I love to creatively plan and think about the next meal, because I love the art of food as well as the flavor of food. And so that, I think that is just part of a creative
But when, like, when I've had a meal, I'm always excited. Like, I always think to myself, Pearl, is it weird that you're so excited about your next meal? Because I am. But then once I've eaten, I don't need to go eat more. Like, I'm good. Like, I don't need to. I think food noise when it's problematic is you're finished with the meal, you're done, and yet you feel compelled
Well,
to
and
eat
some
more.
Of the people said, I never knew it like to feel full. They never felt full, which is bizarre to me because, I mean, I'm sure you all feel, I get really full.
Yeah, yeah.
But people don't feel full. And that
I think it's the food noise when it's a temptation.
Yeah.
When the food noise is coming as tempting to go and eat more past the point.
Yeah, and some people say, I used to have this food noise all the time. I was just thinking about it all the time. Now, because I don't have that, I can choose the healthier foods. It's easy for me to say, what can I eat that's going to nourish my body? Because it's not just the craving part. And a lot of people, it's not just food. For some of my patients, a lot of my patients, it's not just food noise. It's food noise for carbs. They're just craving carbs a lot of times,
and the unhealthy ones.
Well, unhealthy carbs,
And we've brushed on it slightly, but I want to go back and just reiterate it. We've said, you know, GLP-1 agonists, the semaglutide, and then the latest one, the tirzepatide.
Yeah, and they have brand names, but.
But they are a natural peptide. They're like a bioidentical natural peptide. And so the body knows what to do with them. They're not some fandangled weird chemical that we're putting in the body. And I think it's important for people to realize, like for my husband, we were actually just replacing something that his body was not making enough of, or maybe was just not sensitive enough to. And so it was not like we're putting some weird thing that is, the body doesn't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. It's strange. It's alien. No, this is something the body actually wants. Mm. We're giving the body what it wants. And so I think it's important for people to understand that. And so as a food purist, I'm the one that gives my husband his injections. I'm his nurse. And so actually injecting this stuff into my husband, I don't feel an ounce of like I'm, you know, betraying my kind of like purist self. No, I think I'm giving him what his body is craving, what his body is asking for. And it has really, it's changed everything for him. And so for brains like me that are really crunchy, I just wanted to reiterate that this is not a fandangled chemical.
Yeah. Even though it is a medication.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, like with hormones, Dr. K, you know, we deal a lot, Serena and I talk about how so many of us, even the both of us at some point wanted to stay natural with our hormones. And then we realized, okay, staying natural is not always the best thing because natural often means decline.
Absolutely.
Well, it does.
Absolutely. And you illustrated that so well in your book that and I've used that with patients your eyesight's going to decrease. Yeah. Does that mean you don't wear glasses? You're going to lose your hearing. If you can't hear, you're not going to get a hearing aid. I mean, things decline.
Does that resonate when you talk about
it? Yeah, it does. And I had never really thought about that way until I read what you wrote.
Yeah. And you know, another, you know, I was just came back from Scotland, took a beautiful trip to Scotland, and I was flying back in this plane, and, you know, I was thinking, it's so, you know, the first thought when you're taking off is it's so not natural to have 250 people up in the air in this big honking metal contraption. But, I mean, aren't we glad that we can fly? And actually, they say it's the safest way of travel. And so I'm thinking to myself, you know, some things it's great to embrace, even though we were not, you know, born in an airplane. We were born with feet on the ground and gravity exists. It's just, it's a beautiful thing to embrace.
And progress. I think, you know, despite these medications are here to stay, I believe there are a lot, there are controversies about them because some people, like you say, Dr. K, they're not being taught. They want to lose 50 pounds to go in 2 months to go to the beach, you know, and they're like, oh, let me get me one.
Or they, or they're bros in the gym and they want to cut and they don't want to do it the hard way. They just want to take the
drug. Or some people want to fast. They're like, hey, I'll use these to fast because I don't feel
hungry.
So there's many ways that, yes, I think that the controversy is kind of warranted.
Trim Healthy Mama, product news and notes.
The temperatures are dropping, and next week it's Thanksgiving, and we know you're starting to pull out all your seasonal recipes to enjoy with your family, and Christmas shopping is on your mind. What should you add to your cart? Speaking of temperatures dropping, Bountiful Balm is something that you want to have in stock for cold weather.
And we have a customer testimony from Chantel. She says, I live in Minnesota and each winter my hands get terribly dry, cracked and roughed. I decided to try the Bountiful Balm and it helped tremendously. And
I have a testimony of our dear Popsy at the potty, right?
Leslie Pops.
She can't live without Bountiful Balm. She rubs the whole tin on her lips in the winter.
Yeah, it's a fabulous lip balm. But my husband has his own testimony. Speaking of being personal, he is a Bountiful Balm guy in the winter too. Carries it around.
Really?
The Charlie Strait pants.
How cute. So what makes our Bountiful Balm so powerful, especially in the winter dry season? Because it's not just oil and beeswax.
No, this is infused with calendula, plantain, golden seal, St. John's wort, myrrh gum, tea tree oil, grape seed oil, safflower seed oil, and vitamin E oil. Get your Bountiful Balm at trimhealthymama.com.
This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
But I think that they're here to stay because they're helping so many people. And there's ones down the line, down the pathway. Have you heard of Retrotrucide?
I did hear about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's coming down and that is even more powerful. I do worry about it. I love the fact, though, that it's keeping people's muscle mass. But it is so powerful. It's like gastric bypass surgery.
But it's not
surgery.
That terzpatide is taking away muscle mass on itself. You know, it's the that people are using such high doses and they don't want to eat. And then when they do eat, they don't eat protein.
Yeah.
Right.
They just grab another couple of chips.
Right.
And so I think that's important for people to know. It's not like this medication is out to defeat your muscle mass. It's not.
No, I know, but some people are losing muscle. And, you know, there's that big thing about the drooping face that people get.
Well, people that fast and lose weight
I mean, if you lose weight very quickly, these things happen. Even if it wasn't on these weight loss medications, any fast weight loss can do these sorts of things to the body. And so I think, you know, partnering with Dr. K and bringing this availability, but we want to be so wise about it. Mm-hmm. We want to do it where, hey, your meals are still there. Your protein is still there four times a day. You can do it by including all the food groups, you know, by like carbs for E meals, fats for S meals. Or if you can't eat a big meal like you used to be able to, because it does suppress appetite. I think, you know, for those in our plane, small crossovers are warranted and sometimes.
We also suggest essential amino acids.
Yes.
Because they're in liquid form. You just add it to water and it doesn't.
Well, they're powder.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. But it doesn't feel like that you're having another meal, and they're just amazing, just to flood the muscle tissue with what it needs to keep that muscle mass there. And, you know, I hate to simplify the whole thing, but, you know, a lot of the problems with the side effects are the fact that people are just going so high. And, you know, fruit is a natural, wonderful thing. But I used to be a vegan and used to think fruit was the healthiest thing in the world. So I overdosed on fruit. And I went to get a colonic because I'm a purist. And it was like, you know, I do this. I go to colonics every 2 weeks. And I was young. I was like 16. And this lady said, I hate to bring this up, but are you an alcoholic? I know you're young, but are you an alcoholic? And I said, no, I haven't even drank a sip of wine ever. I'm just 16. She said, well, you know, your whole intestine is filled with like a frothy alcoholic. I was overdosing on fruit, simple, healthy fruit. And it was fermenting and turning into alcohol in my digestive system. So, I mean, it's so simplifying the issue, but it's not necessary, not necessarily the GLP-1 itself, but the fact that people are overdosing it is why they're getting the side effects. Like, right. I got side effects from fruit.
And I was going to say, you know, that makes me think, it's not uncommon to feel some nausea, yeah. some mild mm-hmm. nausea. Usually people will say, you know, the day they take it, the day after they take it. But it shouldn't be that you feel nauseated constantly. Mm-hmm. And you know, we talked about this too. Just because you don't lose weight for two or 3 weeks, that doesn't mean it's not doing something in your body.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So it's not like, you
and
know,
do you see the blood work change? Because I think,
yes, I can see the blood work change sometimes when before you see a lot of mm-hmm. difference on the scale. You'll see some difference on the scale, but sometimes you see, you know, it's more pronounced in the blood work.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly. And I think it's, you know, sometimes because a lot of people that get on the medications, then they get on the support groups for them and they're seeing everyone drop weight very quickly. And it's almost like keeping up with the Joneses.
Yes.
What, you didn't lose 2 pounds this week? Oh, I better go up. I better get my dose cracking, you know, and it's this, and it's almost this peer pressure.
Yeah.
And I feel like if anyone is, you know, sitting here considering and you think, hey, this is me, I relate to this. If you're going to do this, be very wise, and you're going to have to kind of like put blinders on about what everyone else is doing with it, because mm-hmm. because a lot of people are hurting themselves doing it wrong.
And that's where the trouble is.
Yeah.
The trouble is following the crowd and doing it the way that doesn't work. But there is a way that's safe, and there's a way that's super effective.
You know, we can't just say, hey, there's a way that's safe. You know, you never know. Every medication is not suited for every person, and you never know what's going
to
happen.
Right. But what I'm trying to say is there is a way to minimize the side effects that are out there.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Dr. K, I want to talk to you about this because You know that we had planned to not launch this part of our, you know, medical program until the end, until we were able to take care of people's hormones.
Mm-hmm.
Because oftentimes mm-hmm. there's a thyroid imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they can't lose the weight.
Yes.
Right. Or there's insulin resistance because their estrogen is plummeted.
Right.
Yeah, so these things should go hand in hand. And we had this conversation, you know, even with you, we're like, man, we wanted to get people's sex hormones and thyroid hormones optimized first and then do this as like the last resort. But here we are offering it, you know, but we all decided, yeah, but we can help people. We still want them to address their, it shouldn't be just, okay, I'm only doing this and I'm not going to address my hormones, right?
Right, because it's not, you know, getting your insulin levels down and getting some weight off and getting healthy, mm-hmm. you know, that's going to help a lot of things.
Yeah.
It doesn't help everything.
Exactly.
You know, that's my, you know, it's like, I always think when people ask me, I'm like, yeah, I want all my levels. I want everything to be optimal.
Exactly.
You know, that's how I'm going to be the healthiest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what I want for my patients.
Right. Yeah. So true.
And oftentimes too, you know, maybe they start with semaglutide because there is not a place for them to get, you know, healthy mm-hmm. hormone care. It's very hard these days to find healthy hormone care.
Right.
So many times there's a long waiting list for the good doctors too. So maybe the people that are stuck, they start with semaglutide. And then when they can get their hormones addressed, maybe they don't even need the sema anymore.
Yeah. Oh, so that's what we needed to talk about. So, you know, Becky, and I think we're going to have her on this body.
Oh, Becky.
Who works for us. Mm-hmm. She's in our accountant team.
She's a Southern Belle, has the most gorgeous accent in the world.
She's incredible. But she was doing our plan, kind of because she worked for us. She loved all the products and was kind of doing it, never really sticking to it, but a believer.
Mm-hmm.
I think she did lose weight, you know, and but she decided.
She saw my husband come into the office, and she's
was very
what
inspired
are
by
you
Sam.
Doing?
Sam's inspired a lot of people. She was very inspired, so she stayed on a low dose of this medication. We just heard from Becky.
I mean, low.
But do you know what she did? Low. She really was able to, for the first time, actually without the food noise, focus in on, like you said, she was able to choose healthy foods.
Oh, her foods were amazing. Every time we went into the office, we were like, show us your lunch, Becky.
Yeah.
And it was always protein anchored.
Lots of emails.
She heralded protein.
Yeah, she really did. But she was into the good carbs.
Oh, yeah.
Then she'd have good fats. I mean, she suddenly could do the plan. Where before she couldn't,
and, finally getting that the blood sugar low, she had the energy to exercise.
She strength trained. Guess what? She, you know how people say, well, if you're on these medications, you'll probably have to be for life. She's off, completely off.
Wow.
She stayed on for 6 months. Her weight has not gone up. All her blood work is impeccable.
She looks 20 years younger.
She is able to eat. She's keeping up her exercise. And she said, well, her doctor doesn't think she'll have to go on because why? She actually gained muscle mass. So she changed her whole metabolism. Yeah.
And she's insulin sensitive now.
Yeah, she's sensitive to insulin. So, I mean, I think that's just such an incredible story.
Yes. So I think it's important for people to hear that once they're on semaglutide, it doesn't mean they have to be on it for the rest of their life. It
does not.
Maybe some people will. Maybe. Well, yeah. But hey, people brush their teeth for the rest of their life too. You know, it's not a big deal. But some people could go off. And it's not addictive. This is doing something to your body and your body's going to shut down a process. Mm-hmm. No, this is for people that the process is already not working.
Right. You know, in the studies, you talk about staying on it, not staying on it.
Yeah.
I mean, in the studies that were done originally with the brand name.
Yeah.
You know, people did 80% gain their weight back when they stopped. Mm-hmm. But we don't know what kind of counseling, what kind of diet, anything that was being done. Was there instruction on that? Were they getting the protein, exercise, all those things?
No. They were losing weight very fast.
Right. Which means their metabolism was worse afterwards than it was to begin with.
But I have seen it in my practice and in my colleagues, you know, in the people that I'm around and people who've used this and coworkers and things, that they are able to get off of it and keep it off.
Oh, so you've seen that too?
I've seen it, yes. And what I've seen it, and I was just talking to this with one of my colleagues too, who's very interested in this, and he was like, you know, nobody really knows. There's not really, as far as how are people going to taper off of this? There's not a lot of studies because it hasn't been used that long. I mean, there are studies, but as far as getting off of it and keeping the weight off, how does that work best? Right. But we definitely see where they just seem to wean off. Like, you know, there's not necessarily a protocol, but like, okay, well, I used to take it every week. Now I'm taking it every 10 days. Now I'm taking it every 2 weeks and seeing how their body responds. Mm-hmm. And, but I've been able to see too, people getting off 6 months later, they haven't gained weight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know,
that's incredible. And Sam is still on a low dose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though he, you know, got to the weight he wanted to get, but why is he still on the low dose? Because,
well, you know,
does he get food noise or what is it? Or he just feels so much better because he keeps his inflammation down?
He just finds it so easy to keep it in his life. Like, it's not a bother to him. Mm-hmm. He doesn't see it as dangerous. Mm-hmm. He has not responded with any bad side effects since we lowered the dose. And so I just think he's still very on a honeymoon period with it.
Yeah. It's been close to 2 years.
Yeah, he doesn't really feel like going off of it. And also he had such genetic high blood sugar, where his whole family has kind of dealt with high sugar issues, even when they don't eat that bad. Mm-hmm. And so he feels like this is just
his preventative.
Yeah, preventative for high blood sugar. Yeah. He might address some lowering off later on, but he's just so happy.
Yeah. So I know that Dr. K, we're going to bring you back because we're going to really talk about hormones, hormones.
Excited,
we're going to talk about estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, all of these things.
And that was my favorite subject too. Pearl has converted me. Now I am like a hormone.
You're a hormone freak.
Well, yeah. And just as we were talking too, a little teasers, I want to just say is, you know, people have a lot of negative feelings about hormones.
They do.
But a lot of that comes from evidence from not bioidentical. So we're talking about putting things back in the body that the body is lacking.
Yes.
But it's very different when they're synthetic. And people, and they oftentimes get put in one bucket, and that's and there are some negative things, and that's scary.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about
that. So so that's, it correlates really what we've been talking about today. And so we're gonna probably bring you back for several parties because we're gonna be going in depth about women's hormones. And I've talked to so many doctors, read so many books. You have first of all, your experience working with thousands of women. You know, I love picking your brain. And then you'll always have, let me tell you about this, Pearl. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have a story about a woman and what you've seen. So I love that you are continually, not only do you have the experience of 20 years of working with women, you are continually educating yourself.
Yeah.
And you didn't stop at one place. And so I just love
that. That's rare.
I know.
A lot of practitioners, I feel like they get their foundational understanding about it and then they put it in concrete.
Yes.
Encapsulate it. And
always
then
have to be willing to question what we already think, because maybe something new has been determined, or maybe there's something we haven't heard of before.
Yes. You know? Yeah. But I love that. And so we're going to bring you back. We're going to talk hormones, because that's our favorite subject and yours. But I just want to say, you don't do anything you tell others to do that you don't do yourself.
Absolutely.
So you've been on bioidentical hormones for how many years?
Oh, gosh. At least 12.
Yes.
Longer than that.
Yeah.
And you have an incredibly busy schedule. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think that you could pull off what you do without being optimized. I mean,
I don't think so either. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's made a huge difference. In fact, I've said I probably have more energy now and feel better now than when I was 30. Wow. And I'm 58 now. So that's, gosh, that's about half the age I am now. But then again, I know I had little kids and I was going everywhere to practice and all these things. But I remember getting home at the end of the day and having to take a nap.
Yes.
You know?
That was me too.
And so, And a lot of things have changed with my diet and exercise and all that things too. But no, I think the hormone, I always tell my patients that I'm not asking you to do anything that I don't do.
Right.
It's not that even that I wouldn't do. It's that I do these things.
And another note, because I always tend to go here, it's just my brain. I remember you telling me, and I hope you don't mind me sharing this. You said that even in your marriage, it's come alive since being on the hormones.
Much different.
You know, now at 58, like a honeymoon again. And so I love to keep bringing it around.
Oh, yes. Serene's got sex on the brain, but that's all right. That's good, actually. Hey, so thank you so much, Dr. K.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
So ours, I don't know when and what. I'm not the person that rolls out these things. We are the content and we just discuss these things. But somehow this will be all related to our website and there will be an availability under doctor care, under physician care. That's what's going to happen. And I just botched out the rolling out of that. But who knows? It'll be available somehow.